Good evening, all. I, like Brother Larry, wish that the house was full. Because those that are not here, they'll not miss hearing me. They'll not miss hearing the words that I say. But they'll miss the fellowship of God. They'll miss the Spirit that just being here in this house brings. And I feel sorry for them. And I reach out for them in my thoughts and prayers. Oh, that we would have a full building each and every year. Since I always do everything I'm told, my brother, when he asked me to preach, strongly suggested that I preach a Father's Day sermon. And so that's what I'm going to endeavor to do tonight, is preach a Father's Day sermon. And first thing I need to do is ask a question and ask, what is a father? You know, the obvious answer is, it's someone who's the husband of my mother. That's not necessarily so. Or someone who begot us in the biblical sense. That's not necessarily so either, is it? Or it's the adult male that happens to live in our house. That's not necessarily so either. A father is one who loves us like God. You know, we may have a father that we never knew. We may have a father that doesn't love us. We may have a father that we don't even know. And that is not the father that that's talked about within the scriptures. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I can't think of any stronger example of a father than one who would give up his life for his child. And every good father that I've ever known or talked to or met has told me that they would lay down their life for their children without thought. Without a second thought, that they would give their life. First John 3:16 also says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And you know, that brings to mind a story that we all know in the Bible, and that's about Abraham. And Abraham was a father. And if you remember the story, God told him to offer up his only son, his oldest son, to be killed on the altar as a sacrifice. Now, the question that comes into my mind, and probably should come into your mind, does this make Abraham a bad father? Because he was willing. You know, the scriptures tell us that he was willing to give up his son. Does that make him a bad father? He wasn't asked to lay down his own life, was he? He was asked to lay down the life of his son. And I have to admit, the first few times that I read that story in the Bible, I thought, what a father. You know, I always believed, and I think it's so, what I said before, that a father would lay down his life for his children. And yet here is a father willing to lay down his son's life. But what's the difference? The difference is that he was doing it according to the commandments of a bigger Father. The main Father. The Father in heaven. The Book of Mormon tells some of the love that God has for us, and I'd like to read a little bit out of 1 Nephi, the third chapter, starting with the 63rd verse, and this is on page 28 if you want to follow along. Starting with the 63rd verse, it says, "Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, Yea, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake to me, saying, Yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And after he had said these words, he said unto me, Look. And I looked. And I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass, I beheld the rod of iron, which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are the representation of the love of God. And I beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And the angel said unto me, Look, and behold the condescension of God." We need to have that love of God and that God-like love for our children. That's what makes a father. That love within his heart that he has for his children. An earthly father must protect. An earthly father must keep from physical danger. He must keep them from the dangers of the spirit. He must look after the well-being of the soul. He must teach Christ. He must teach the words of God. He must teach good living. How to treat their fellow man. How to pray. How to follow the commandments of God. And all those good things that God has taught you and I. We as fathers must teach our children. And I think back to my home life, and my father, and my mother, all the time that I was growing up, the 18 years that I spent in the home, I never but once heard my father pray. My father was not a praying man. He was a loving man. But I only heard him pray once. And I think that was because his father-in-law told him to. My grandfather. I was sick with polio. Out of my head most of the time. But I do remember the family being in the kitchen, and I was in a bedroom right off the kitchen. And I heard them discussing me. And my chances. And my grandfather asked. Have you prayed for the boy? That's the only prayer that I heard my father ever give. But my earthly father did protect me. My earthly father did love me. My earthly father did teach me right from wrong, even though I didn't obey all the time. And even though I didn't do those things sometimes that he told me to do. My father was a very fair-minded man. He liked fairness. And he taught me that. And he taught me how to interact with my fellow man. So as I look back and look at this list that I just read, I think my father was a father. Fathers must teach their children to become Christ-like. Moroni 7:53 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure." We as fathers must teach our children to be Christ-like. To do those things, to say those things, to act out those things that God has told us to do. Let's turn over to Nephi. 3 Nephi, 2nd chapter, 51st verse, starting on page 611. "And great and terrible was the appearance of the armies of Gideonhi, because of their armor and because of their died in blood. And it came to pass that the army of the Nephites, when they saw the appearance of the army of Gideonhi, had all fallen to the earth and did lift their cries to the Lord their God, that he would spare them and deliver them out of the hands of their enemies." This was a Christ-like people. And because of that, they're going to be saved here. They're going to be saved because they were Christ-like. Because they lived their lives in such a manner that was pleasing to God. And they always did that which was pleasing in his sight. "And it came to pass that when the armies of Gideonhi saw this, they began to shout with a loud voice, because of their joy, for they had supposed that the Nephites had fallen with fear because of the terror of their armies. But in this thing they were disappointed, for this Nephites did not fear them, but they did fear their God and did supplicate him for protection. Therefore, when the armies of the Gideonites did rush upon them, they were prepared to meet them, yea, in the strength of the Lord they did receive them, and the battle commenced in this, the sixth month. and great and terrible was the battle thereof. Yea, great and terrible was the slaughter thereof, insomuch that there never was known so great a slaughter among all the people of Lehi since he left Jerusalem. And notwithstanding the threatenings and the oaths which Gideoni had made, behold, the Nephites did beat them, insomuch that they did fall back from before them, because they were Christ-like, because they obeyed, because they turned to their God. And that's what we fathers must teach to our children, that we can always rely on God, no matter how things look, no matter how black it looks, no matter how down we are, we can always turn to God and expect that through our faith, through our love, through our obedience, we will receive protection from Him. Fathers must teach their children to search the Scriptures. John 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." We have to teach our children. We have to show by example that we read the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and we read about Latter-day Revelation, and we read about the history of this church, and we study to show ourselves approved. And we pass this along to our children. Fathers, our children look at us. They see what we do. But more, they see what we don't do. And those things sometimes that we don't do make a bigger impression than some of the things that we do do. John 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And again, let's go to the Book of Mormon. And again in 3 Nephi, starting at the 4th chapter, and this is on page 630. We'll start at the 69th verse and read two verses. "And now whoso readeth, let him understand. He that hath the Scriptures, let him search them." And you know, we're blessed. We're blessed here in this United States because we can have the Scriptures. We're not disallowed by law to have the Scriptures. We're able to go to our kitchens or our bedrooms or our living rooms and pick up the Bible or the Book of Mormon and read it at will without fear of being persecuted at this day and age. "Let him search them and see and behold if all these deaths and destruction by fire and by smoke and by tempest and by whirlwinds and by the openings of the earth to receive them, and all these things are not unto the fulfilling of the prophecies of many of the holy prophets." And we're to study the Scriptures to learn these things. What does God have in store for me? What does God have in store for our children? What does God have in store for our children's children or grandchildren? The Scriptures tell us. And we as fathers should teach our children to study these things to find out what prophecy holds for you and I. "Behold, I say unto you, yea, many have testified of these things at the coming of Christ and were slain because they testified of these things." We must teach our children as fathers discipline. You know, God disciplined His people God disciplined Moses. Moses disobeyed God, and what happened? He wasn't able to see, to go into the promised land because of his disobedience. God disciplined Joseph Smith when he lost the 116 pages of the Book of Mormon. And what happened? The plates were taken from him. And we must discipline our children. Now, this is one of the things that my father was very good at. My father was very good at disciplining me, and I needed it. I needed it many times. I've told this story to some, and some think it's kind of wild, but I'm going to tell it again. I was about 7 1/2 years old. Little bitty tot running around. My dad had a wine barn. He made his own wine. He had a big press, big kegs down in the wine cellar. And I had a very good friend that lived 3 or 4 houses down from us, and my mom and my dad left that afternoon to go down into Sugar Creek, which is about 3 blocks, to the grocery store. And they were only going to be gone a half hour, at the most. Now they said to me, Junie, that was my name, Junie, you stay here and play with little Johnny, and we'll be right back. And as soon as they left, little Johnny and I went down into the wine cellar. First, I went into the house, and I got my dad's cigarettes, and I got my dad's matches, and I got a couple of glasses. And little Johnny and I went down into the wine cellar and opened up the keg of wine. Now, we had seen the adults do this, and we thought it was going to be great. So we lit up our cigarettes. We filled our glasses of wine. By the way, the wine was running all over everything out of the keg. And we set the wine cellar on fire. So my dad had to discipline me when he got home. And my dad's discipline was with a razor strap. And some of the older men here knows what a razor strap was. But he was good at discipline. And I would never forget. And I never did that sort of thing again. And you know, I think maybe that might have broke my smoking and my drinking, because I never did again. I never smoked again, because I could remember his discipline, and I was afraid it might come again. Fathers must teach their children to withstand temptations. And I like to read out of 2 Peter. Second Peter, the 2nd chapter, starting with the 9th verse. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know, the children of this day and age are going to have to face many temptations. They're going to have to overcome a lot of things that look good, a lot of things that their peers are doing and seem to be having fun at. And yet those things will lead to destruction. But it says here, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And we as fathers need to tell our children that is the way that they overcome temptation. Not with their own wills, not with their own minds, but through God. and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of uncleanliness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And this is what will happen to our children if we do not teach them to overcome temptation. We will utterly go down into destruction. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But these things that it's speaking of here, these wanton things of the world, they look good. They look enticing. But it's up to us as fathers, loving fathers, to teach our children to withstand temptations. The Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi, page 92, starting at the 29th verse, says, "For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them." Again, we get back to those things that we can teach our children how to overcome temptation by using these scriptures that have been preserved for you and I, and especially for our children. "Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord, in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth. O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted." You know, the fathers here probably have had to overcome those same temptations that some of the children will have to face. And they can pass on that information to the children. "I was able to overcome this temptation by this, by prayer, by study." But we as fathers must teach our children to overcome temptation. Fathers must teach their children to do good works. To do good works. To do the right thing. To do those things that God would have us to do. We must teach by example. Show our children that it is right to visit the sick. That it is right to give of our money, our time, and our talents to the church. Good works. That it is right to feed the hungry. That it is the right thing to do to clothe the naked. Or the right thing to do to help the beggar on the side of the street. Or to help your neighbor. Or just to be friends with someone who is friendless. We must teach our children to do good works. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That scripture tells us that those good works that you and I do glorifies our Father in heaven. You know, it not only does us good, it makes us feel good here. It brings us closer to God. It helps assure us a good standing when we stand before God at that last judgment day. But above all, it glorifies our Heavenly Father. Because we are doing it because of our love for our Heavenly Father. Then in Ephesians 2:10 it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk." God ordained that you and I, as children of God, should do good works. The Bible in another place says, never cease to do good works. Never cease to do good works. And there's one more thing in works that we must do. Works is also obeying the commandments of God. So we need to teach our children what those commandments are. What does God expect of you and I? What does God expect of our children? What does God expect of our grandchildren? We need to teach them that. We need to stand behind this pulpit, we who are preachers, and tell the congregation what is expected of us as followers of God. What commandments should we be following? How should we be living our life? What specific things should you and I be doing? What should we be telling our children what they should be doing in this day and this age? Should we tell them that they have forever? Should we tell them that time means nothing? Or should we tell them that we're in the last days? Should we tell them that it is time for them to make the decision to follow after Jesus Christ? Time for them to be baptized. Time for them to live that Christ-like life. That is the duty of the fathers in this congregation. The duty of the fathers in this congregation. Turn over with me to Titus, the third. Titus, the third chapter. Starting with the third verse. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." Yes, we need to admit that to our children. That we as fathers were sometimes foolish. That we as fathers sometimes made mistakes. We as fathers still make mistakes. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." If any of these things fit us as fathers, we need to admit it. We need to change. We need to teach our children not to do these things. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." This is what we need to teach our children. That if they have been in diverse lusts, if they have been foolish, if they have been disobedient, if they have been deceived, Jesus Christ is the answer. God is the answer. By His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Matthew 19:17 says, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. And then in 1 John 5:3 it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. We need to teach our children this. As fathers, we need to let them know that the commandments of God are the way to enter into eternal life. That obeying the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not difficult. They're not impossible to do. But they are the way to life eternal through obedience. Revelation 14th chapter, 12th and 13th verses. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Where are they? Where are they? In the kingdom of God. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So it behooves us to obey the commandments. It behooves us to do good works. It behooves us also to teach our children to do the same thing. Yes, this is Father's Day. And we need to honor our fathers. But as fathers, we must do our duty. We must do our duty to our children, as I have tried to bring out in this sermon. We must have that same, we must be that same kind of father to our children as our heavenly Father is to you and I. That's our example. That's what we have to live up to. And we have to do it to save our children today. A poem by Helen Steiner Rice called Fathers Are Wonderful People. Fathers are wonderful people, too little understood, and we do not sing their praises as often as we should. For somehow fathers seem to be the man who pays the bills, while mother binds up the little hurts and nurses all our ills. And father struggles daily to live up to his image as protector and provider and hero of the scrimmage. And perhaps that is the reason we sometimes get the notion that fathers are not subject to that thing we call emotion. But if you look inside Dad's heart where no one else can see, you'll find he's sentimental and as soft as he can be. But he's so busy every day in the grueling race of life, he leaves the sentimental stuff to his partner and his wife. But fathers are just wonderful in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolades of praise. For the only reason Dad aspires to fortune and success is to make the family proud of him and to bring them happiness. And like our Heavenly Father, he's a guardian and a guide, someone that we can count on to be always on our side. Thank you very much.